Things have already stood in the way of your nourishment. I don't want to be one of them. But while you're enjoying your dessert, I thought I would say, welcome to Cincinnati. If you've got one hand free while you're eating, how many of you have been to Cincinnati now for the first time? Oh, good. And how many are coming back after a long time not being here? A few. Okay. Well, I'm not a Cincinnati boy. I was born up the road in boring Dayton, Ohio. But I'd like to think that I'm a Cincinnati boy at heart. Both of my parents and their families were from Cincinnati. My wife's families on both sides are from across the river in northern Kentucky. We're back here every Christmas for holidays and sometimes on other occasions during the year. Oh, and I'm president of the Philadelphia Society this year, which, by the way, has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that our conference is being held in Cincinnati this fall. For those of you who know Cincinnati, you already know what I'm about to tell everyone else. But for those of you who are new to the city or are coming back after a long time away, what I want to say is, Cincinnati is a truly wonderful place. And it's an especially apposite place for a conservative intellectual society like ours to be holding a regional conference focused on America the Beautiful. There was a story we were taught in parochial school up the road in Dayton about how the Ohio River was named. Supposedly Indians coming upon the river and viewing it from the southern Kentucky bank exclaimed Ohio, which in their tongue was said to translate into how beautiful. Another version has it that Ohio, that the name Ohio means beautiful river in Wyandot, a dialect of the Iroquois language. Turns out that none of that's true. The Wyandot Iroquois meaning really is Great River, or, well, really just great. The river is understood. But etymology aside, Cincinnati is a wonderful place to contemplate beauty and the beauties of our very special land. You may think this ironic if you've driven past Cincinnati's industrial plants lining the Mill Creek Expressway north through the city. The very picture of urban industrial America. But head up to Cincinnati's parks, Eden, Ault, Alms, Mount Storm. The most famous ones are atop the city's famous Seven Hills, offering sweeping views of the Ohio as it wends its way through the land. The views are breathtaking. Or look around you in this hotel, and outside in downtown. Cincinnati is a treasure trove of classic American urban architecture. It's home to some of the nation's greatest Art Deco masterpieces. This hotel and the Carew Tower Complex, the CG&E building, Cincinnati Gas and Electric as it used to be known, the unique Union Terminal, the main post office. But it's also home to a Richardson-esque 19th century city hall, the Greek Revival St. Peter in Chains Cathedral, the oldest one still in use west of the Alleghenies, and the classic Oriental Revival Plum Street Temple right across the street. The massive, eclectic, German-Romanesque cum Victorian music hall, and so much more. Or visit Cincinnati's Encyclopedic Museum of Art. Or the gem of a smaller private collection in the Taft Museum right downtown, with its murals by Robert Duncanson, a 19th century black American painter and disciple of the Hudson Valley School. The city's May Festival, founded in 1875, is possibly the country's oldest continuous musical institution. Its symphony orchestra is only a few years younger than Boston's. Its summer opera is said to be the second oldest professional opera company in the nation. Yes, Cincinnati is truly a city that knows something about beauty. So it's a great place to contemplate our conference topic. But it's also a great place that we conservatives should be proud and comfortable to come and visit with our conference. Ken's already told you, of course, about Mark Twain's famous dictum about Cincinnati, about what would happen here 10 years later. And why not? Cincinnati is a deeply rooted city that has always had a healthy skepticism, even reticence, about passing flash-in-the-pan fads that come along. We conservatives can certainly identify with that. Cincinnati is a city that's invested in the things that are permanent, the things that really last. For instance, in 1900, Cincinnati continued to lead the nation as its foremost producer of horse-drawn carriages. Though by then, for some odd reason, the business was off by about 75% from what it had been a decade earlier. And since Cincinnati has always drawn its life and commerce from the river, it took it a while, until 1933, in fact, to finally get around to rationalizing the hodgepodge of different individual railroad stations dotting the city into a consolidated Union Terminal, that Art Deco masterpiece of a hemidome that's on the western verge of downtown. It took it so long, in fact, that it became the last great train station built in America during the era of railroads. In fact, I have it on good, I'm tempted to say, eyewitness authority that was very close to home, that about the only passing fad that Cincinnati ever really went for in a big way was the Beatles at Cincinnati Gardens Basketball Arena, 1964. Ask Vicky. Yep, Cincinnati is a mighty congenial place for a conservative conclave like ours to visit. And it has a lot to do with the people. What do I mean? Well, consider this from an affectionate 1966 portrait of the city, speaking about a prominent media person here in Cincinnati. The author wrote, "He's typical Cincinnati Dutch. The Cincinnati Dutch are not necessarily German or Dutch, of course, never wear wooden shoes, and don't speak with a corny guttural. It's more a state of mind than anything else. Such people generally avoid the flash and the glitter of young moderns, support churches and building and loans by the score, save so much for rainy days that they could buy a fleet of arks for cash, favor a simple neighborhood tavern to an erotic cocktail lounge where the waitresses get chapped knees, and should one of their kind find himself in any form of show business beyond the high school operetta, that is, he looks upon that occupation questioningly. Cincinnati Dutch of every persuasion are honest as the day is long, uncomplicated, and usually outspoken. When they get married, it's for keeps. They become such old-fashioned parents that you would swear they were aping Clarence Day. To most of them, credit cards are the work of the devil, and the thought of being out of the job gives them goose pimples. The only time you read about them is in the newspaper, is when they celebrate golden wedding anniversaries or when they die." Now, what good conservative wouldn't want to live in a place like that, with neighbors like that? So yes, Cincinnati is a darn near perfect place for a gathering of conservatives to come to contemplate and enjoy beauty. And come to think of it, that reminds me that I'd best be keeping in good with the Lord. After all, maybe if I do, I'll get enough advance warning to get back to Cincinnati in time. And with that,